From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Only a decade or so ago, a cell phone was still an almost magical technology. Today, it's a fact of life. Most of us conduct much of our personal, professional, and commercial lives on a mobile phone. You probably haven't thought much about it, but you don't get bothered much on your cell phone by telemarketers or even the companies you do business with. That's not by accident. The law on how your cell phone number can be used is tough and tight. Now there's a push to loosen it, to give business more access to your cell phone, even to robocall. Congress is weighing the change. Business wants it badly. This hour, On Point, how sacred will your cell phone be? You can join the conversation. Do you want businesses calling you, robocalling you, on your cell? With so many Americans cutting their landlines, do we have to give commercial interests some way to reach you? Or should your cell phone be off limits? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from Washington is Brendan Sasso. He covers technology and telecommunications for the congressional journal The Hill and has reported on a new bill being considered in Congress to allow businesses to do more business on your cell phone. Brendan Sasso, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
What's the push here, Brendan?
Well, I think the basic idea is that Congress passed this law, the Telephone Consumer Protection Act, about 20 years ago that banned companies being able to robo-dial your cell phone, so whether an automated system or, you know, you pick up the phone and you get a robot on the other end. And I think the basic idea is that a lot has changed in 20 years, that back then, you know, minutes were really expensive, not everyone had a cell phone, and so businesses are saying that now, in order to contact people, they're saying it's not for telemarketing, though. It would be to, you know, notify someone if a package delivery didn't go through or if there was a recall on a car, that they should, the easiest and most effective way to do that would be to allow them to call your cell phone through these robotic systems.
And how would that work? Would they be able to somehow dig your number up out of some kind of file and call you? Would you have to give them your number? Do you have power to, you know, say yes or no to this or not, Brendan?
Right. Well, so under the bill that's currently being considered, the idea is that you would have to opt in. So you would have to give the business your cell phone number and then say, you know, you can use this to contact me. And supposedly the bill would also mean it could only be for informational purposes. So it's the people who wrote the bill are saying that it's not for telemarketing, that you would be able to say, you know, I'm expecting this delivery and you know, the company can contact me if there's a problem.
So you're saying opt-in, a kind of prior consent, but I'm seeing here critics are saying, well, what is prior consent? If you just do business with the company, they could take that as prior consent, whether you want it or not.
Right. So that's, I think, part of the problem is that even, I mean, the people who are pushing this bill, Congressman Lee Terry is a Republican from Nebraska, and he introduced it. And they're saying that it's not for telemarketing, but I think the issue is, what exactly does prior consent mean? You know, if you give a company your cell phone number and you don't read the fine print, is that going to mean that these companies are going to start calling you, you know, while you're eating dinner?
Of course, the telecommunications have really changed since 1991, as you say. But one of the ways they've changed is that something like 7 million used cell phones then. Now it's, I think, 330 million or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the cell phone is different because it's in your pocket. It's wherever you are. Even if you might welcome some commercial information at a certain point in a day, or I mean, who knows where you're going to be when that phone rings, Brendan?
Sure. But again, the people pushing it are saying that you should be, you know, you'll opt in to receive it. So you will be expecting a call from certain businesses. But sure, it can be even more intrusive than just the telemarketing that we're used to on landlines.
Where does this bill stand now? Is it close to passage? Will it even get before the whole, or is it in committee? Where does it stand?
It's still in the subcommittee. It hasn't really gone very far at all. The only thing that's happened so far is it's been introduced, and they had one hearing a few weeks ago to just sort of explore the issues. And so I think I've talked to some aides on the committee, and they don't expect it to go anywhere for at least this year. And they'll work on figuring out the exact, you know, hammering out some changes to the language, and then it'll likely, so it has to get voted on in a subcommittee and then the full committee, and then it would go to the full House, and then it has to pass the Senate.
Consumers are pretty touchy about their cell phones. Who's been pushing for this bill? Who's signed on? Who's for it?
Well, aside from, so Congressman Lee Terry is the one pushing it. There was also at the hearing the Cargo Airline Association testified in favor of it. And so, I mean, business interests generally are supportive of the changes.
I'm seeing U.S. Chamber of Commerce on board here, the American Gas Association Financial Services Roundtable. What is that? Is that debt collectors?
I believe so. I'm not totally sure on that, though.
That could be a pretty unwelcome call if you're sitting, I don't know, in a meeting with your boss or your girlfriend and you've got the debt collector on the line. What's your sense on the Hill? This was put out there because businesses want to get through to people and people are cutting their landlines. Does it have momentum or not?
Well, I think there was some, both sides of the aisle in this hearing said, you know, we don't want telemarketing calls. That's not what we want to do. The Republicans on the committee, I think, were a little more supportive of having the changes. Congresswoman Anna Eshoo, who's the top Democrat on the subcommittee, said, you know, sure, some changes might be okay, but she was much more hesitant than I think some of the Republicans were about changing this law. And she said, you know, I've been getting tons of calls about this, and almost all of them are negative. People are really resistant to any change that might allow for telemarketing calls to their cell phones.
I'm seeing some Republicans in that camp as well. Joe Barton of Texas saying, once you open the door to being used for reasonable reasons, he says, I don't see how you prevent it from being used for less reasonable reasons. Once people have access to that phone, it's, we all know from experience, it's very tempting for businesses to want to use it.
Sure. I think that people generally agree that there are some reasonable ways that businesses could use your phone number. I mean, in fact, now a lot of colleges and universities notify students if there's an emergency, if there's a shooting on campus. And, I mean, no one's complaining to the government about this, but it's not totally clear whether they're allowed to use student cell phones like that. So there are people who, there is, you know, a reasonable argument for allowing for making these changes, but I think that there's also just a lot of hesitancy about any time you crack the door open, are you going to allow businesses to then use the language, how it's written might really affect whether these businesses will then be able to start doing more phone calls.
And suddenly that cell phone in your pocket buzzing all day long. Brendan Sasso with The Hill in Washington. Thanks very much for briefing us here, Brendan.
Thank you, Tom.
Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana right now, and the Attorney General for the state of Indiana, Scott Zeller, he testified before the House Subcommittee on Communications and Technology, not in favor of this change. Attorney General Zeller, thank you very much for being with us today from Indianapolis.
It's good to be with you, Tom.
What are you concerned about with this legislation? Businesses are saying, hey, everybody's cutting their landline. We don't have any way of speaking with our customers. Give us access to their cell phone, please. What's your concern with that?
Well, in Indiana, we've had a unique history that really we have some of the strongest telephone privacy statutes in the country, and we were recently ruled to be preempted by the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. So one of the reasons I went out was I wanted to make sure that we wouldn't be preempted. They used the same language in House Resolution 3035, so we'd asked them to change that. But frankly, after having listened to the testimony and the interests of, you know, where they're headed, this bill has nothing to do with consumer protection. So it's really the same group who opposed the do not call statute back 10 years ago.
Yep.
It's the same people that I've been fighting for over a decade in court.
Who do you think would use this new access to cell phones, and what would they use it for then, Mr. Zeller?
Well, this is all about the debt collection companies that call over a million people a day, and they're the ones who want to use a robotic call. There's nobody that stops you from making a live call. When somebody comes to my door with a FedEx package, they can call my cell phone from the truck. So what we're talking about are these machines, the auto dialers that can call up to 10,000 people a minute. They're very dangerous, and it's one of the most abusive parts of the Telephone Consumer Protection Act. So I think it's something that we really need to change the laws to make them more protective and not less.
So you think it'll be debt collection agencies crawling down people's cell phone lines. But what do we do as a country as people move away from landlines, Attorney General Zeller, and go to cell phones? How are companies supposed to reach them?
They call them. A live operator calls you and talks to you on the phone like people welcome. You know, there's somebody at the other end. What the auto dialers, when you talk about robocalling, it's that annoying machine. Maybe there's information, you know, we do allow these for our schools and when there's emergencies and things like that. But that's not really what we're talking about. This act, it's somewhat of the Trojan horse. And after listening to the testimony, I've told people that we ought to just scrap this and go to a bill that would really protect consumers rather than open the door.
What do you think of the politics of this, Attorney General Zeller? I know I've just got you for another second here. Do you see a big push by these companies who want that robocalling access? Are they putting big power behind it?
Absolutely. When you make a million calls a day from debt collectors, this would allow them to do it with the auto dialer as opposed to having live operators call. And really, instead of a million calls a day, they would be able to just harass people. It's one of the largest groups of consumer complaints, people that aren't the debtor that gets called over and over and over again. This would unleash the auto dialer systems, the robocalls, to these same people that we're already getting complaints about.
And unleash those calls on our cell phone. Scott Zeller, Attorney General for the state of Indiana, joining us from Indianapolis. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
All right, Tom. Good to be with you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about a warning of robocalls headed for your cell phone. Business looking for access to your mobile phone as Americans cut their landlines, Congress may give them a green light. Of course, those telemarketing calls coming in on landlines have been a headache people complained about for years. Legislation cut down on that, but all the way back here is 1992. Is an oft-quoted scene from the sitcom Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld, Jerry's at home, his friends drop in, and just as their conversation gets underway, they're interrupted by a telemarketing call. It was a different story back then. He was called at home on his landline, but as you can hear from the raucous cheers and applause and laughter from the live studio audience, those calls were and are a real sore spot for many Americans.
Well,
I'm sorry, excuse me one second. Hello?
Hi, would you be interested in switching over to TMI long distance service?
Oh, gee, I can't talk right now. Why don't you give me your home number and I'll call you later?
Well, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to do that.
Oh, I guess you don't want people calling you at home.
No.
Well, now you know how I feel.
And down goes the phone. But what if that was your cell phone? We'll hear in just a moment from a consumer advocate on this point. But first, Howard Waltzman joins us from Washington. He's a partner at the law firm Meyer Brown. He heads a multi-industry coalition of 14 different trade associations who are lobbying for this bill, for this new access to cell phones. Howard Waltzman, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
You know everybody's allergic about telemarketing, and I know this is not what this bill is supposed to be about, but people are really on their guard. So let's hear the case for it. We heard the Attorney General from Indiana saying it's a Trojan horse. We're going to be deluged by debt collectors. What's the case for this change in the law, Howard?
Well, the case for the change is the fact that there are lots of types of calls that consumers expect to get. They expect to get timely information about fraud alerts, about airline scheduling notifications, about power outages, about flood insurance information, about school closings, about prescription and other product recalls, about package deliveries. Contrary to what Attorney Zeller asserted, FedEx can't, unless they somehow have obtained prior express consent, call someone's cell phone from their truck. And really, when you look at this bill, and you look at this debate, you look at the changes, some of which you've already cited, since this law was enacted 20 years ago, the fact that there are now 330 million wireless subscribers as compared to 7, the fact that almost 30% of consumers have cut the cord and no longer have a mobile phone, the fact that 40% of consumers view their wireless phone as their primary or exclusive means of communication. When you look at from a pricing perspective, in the first half of 1991, the average wireless bill was almost $75, and the average minutes of use were $154. When you look at the first half of 2011, the average bill was $47.23, and for that money, you got 682 minutes of use on average, 763 text messages, and in $1,991 dollars, that's $21.41.
I mean, so the cost of cell phone use is coming way down. The use of cell phones is going way up. Describe for us what the impact of that has been on businesses. We'll look at it from the consumer angle in a minute, but for American businesses, what kind of challenges does it represent when people are on their cell phone? That may be their primary way of communicating. They may not even have a landline. As you say, almost a third don't these days. What's the impact of that for business, or the consequence?
The impact is, if you've got timely information that you need to reach a consumer with, if you cannot call them on their mobile phone with that information, in a lot of cases, you just can't reach them.
But you know, people have a different sense because of these 20 years of very little. Now, I know things do slip through, but overall, very little kind of commercial use of cell phone numbers. I mean, they're not even in the phone book. So people have a different sense of that telephone and what's likely to come to them on it. They're very protective of it. You must see that, Howard.
I do, but I don't believe that they are as protective of it as they were 20 years ago. And, you know, that's why there are certain restrictions on the making of calls to someone's cell phone that we would fully support. We support continuing prohibition on calls, on telemarketing calls, on political calls. You know, we're not even talking about parity with wireline phones. What we support is, you know, being able to make informational calls, you know, non-marketing informational calls. So I see it, but I also see, and you know, some of that's in the stats that I have. Some of it, I think you'll hear from your guests later on from Wired Magazine. People's view of their cell phone, of the sort of the use of that device, went from being a luxury 20 years ago to being a necessity today. So I don't think people have the same perception from about privacy of their cell phone as they did 20 years ago. Now, if you need to reach somebody, in a lot of cases, they have to be reached on their cell phone.
Howard Waltzman, please stand by there in Washington. Delisha Reynolds Hand joins us as well from Washington right now. She's legislative director for the National Association of Consumer Advocates, also testified recently on this House Resolution 3035. Delisha Reynolds Hand, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
So there's a business. They've got some information that I need. All they want is permission to call me on my cell phone. I might not even have a landline. And Howard says, come on, how unreasonable can that be?
Well, I mean, we say it's not unreasonable, and we say that current law already allows consumer to consent to receive that call. So it's simply not true to say that businesses can't contact consumers. Consumers themselves know from their own experience when they interact with a variety of entities on a daily basis that they are frequently asked for a means of contact. And many times consumers will consent to receive phone calls on their cell phone. And so the current reality is that anyone can receive any call on any number they provide if they consent to it.
Alicia, when you say they consent, is just giving your cell phone number tantamount to consent? That means if I give it to you, you can use it, you can call me, dear business?
Yes. So under current law, consent to receive... So let me just clarify. Under current law, a consumer can consent to receive a call, so a human dial call, but they can also consent to receive a robocall. If you like.
But what qualifies as consent? Is simply giving my number? Many times when you check out of a store these days, they'll ask you for your cell phone number. If you give your cell phone number, have you consented to them calling one way or another when they like?
Not necessarily. So it depends on who you've given your number to. And that's actually a really good question, because that's one of the things that this bill would essentially gut. It would gut a consumer's ability to expressly consent. So let me just clarify. So to give consent in a business relationship, if it's a bank or creditor, and in some cases even a debt collector, a consumer under a 2008 FCC, Federal Communications Commission order, has to give that consent in writing through the business transaction. And so the FCC has already spoken on this, such that if a consumer frankly, in just filling out a credit application, provides mm-hmm. their cell phone number, they've now consented to receive a robocall. They've consented to receive any kind of call from that business. That's not the same as, for example, a pharmacy situation. A consumer goes into their local pharmacy.
Right.
And provides a phone number for contact, for updating the prescription, or for whatever purpose the pharmacy would want to contact them. Under current law, the pharmacy couldn't then use that number and robocall them, or they couldn't provide that number to a third party and robocall them. And so what this bill would do, essentially, is make for all transactions and all entities that pharmacy counter situation, so that doesn't involve a contract, not an application, and doesn't specify the reason why a consumer might be called in the future. It would basically say that, you know, in any transaction where you've made a purchase, or
yes.
any transaction where you've ever made a purchase, so it could have happened in the past, a consumer, in providing their cell phone number, would be consenting to receive a robocall.
Howard Waltzman, Delicia, and others say this isn't necessary. You can already call consumers if they've consented and you've got their number. You just can't dial them automatically. You can't do robocalling. Why not just let it stand at that? Why sick the robocalls on the American consumer, Howard?
Well, let me set up the context, which you've talked about a little bit already, for the law and how the law impacts different types of calls. If I want to hand dial your number, I can do that to your wireless. I can do that to your wireline.
You can do that today. With no change in the law. Yep.
Even without consent, I can do that.
Okay.
If I want to use either an auto dialer or an artificial pre-recorded message, I can, for certain types of calls, and for the types of calls we care about, which are commercial non-telemarketing calls, I can make that call to your wireline phone today, even absent consent. So the debate about, you know, consent to me is an interesting one, because the types of calls that we think are important, that we think consumers expect to get, should be ones that, from a policy perspective, shouldn't need consent. Calls like telemarketing calls, calls like political calls, those should continue to be subject to consent. But for the calls that I'm talking about, these types of calls shouldn't be subject to a consent requirement. And, you know, FedEx is a great example. FedEx, it's usually almost impossible for FedEx to get consent. If you go onto L.L. Bean and are buying something for the holidays, and even if you put your mobile number in as your contact number,
yeah.
you've given consent to L.L. Bean to contact you, but you haven't given consent to FedEx. So if you somehow entered your address in wrong, FedEx does not have the ability to make a call to your mobile phone with an automated message saying, "We got your address wrong. You know, please call the following number, or please visit your local FedEx office to pick up your package."
Delicia, you hear Howard there saying, look, they shouldn't even need consent to do this. They've got an issue. You're in the middle of a commercial transaction. They need to talk to you. They need to help you. So, you know, clear the way, please.
Well, you know, as a consumer advocate, we have a serious problem with that statement, because essentially, you know, what it means is that someone else should decide what calls a consumer should receive, not the consumer, him or herself. And I think that's our, you know, one of our strong objections to this legislation, is that it would essentially mean that someone else, another business or another entity, would determine what's important enough for a consumer to receive. And then in addition to the fact that it's just unnecessary. So again, I agree, consumers expect to receive certain information, and they currently receive it when they consent to it.
Let's hear from our listeners, lots of them calling on cell phone and otherwise. Cookeville, Tennessee, Bobby. Bobby, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. And I wanted to compliment your show. It's always a good show.
Oh, thanks.
I agree with the consumer advocate there, and of course the attorney general that called from, I forget what state.
Indiana.
Indiana, yes. Yeah, it was very good. Another item I'm concerned about is that when we had landlines, besides the annoyance of being called by companies promoting things or robocalls. They didn't quite have it. Is you aren't charged for the call, but on our cell phones we are. Every call that comes in, we have to pay for that call. And as someone pointed out, it's a little different since we now carry the phone on our hip, whereas before, at least when I left my house,
yep,
you were free of it. I was free of it. Yeah, I don't know who in their right mind would consent to having calls, coming in for commercial reasons. That no one in their right mind would want to do it.
Well, what about the argument that you may want this information, that FedEx may need to correct your address or something, Bobby? Do you buy that?
That's great. Oh, yeah, I would. If there was some way of limiting the legislation to so that it would be for calls like that, but not robocalls, because you wouldn't be getting a robocall from FedEx. It would be one call. I don't know how you would put that. But I was also concerned that when legislation goes through, the writer of the legislation sometimes will seem to want to clearly define what it's for. But as it goes through Congress, other addendums and things are tacked on to it so that it comes out with unintended results when you start out. So that also, worries me. But, if there was some way to limit the calls to emergency calls, I get calls. I'm a school bus driver. I get calls from the school district telling us, that snow days or this or that.
Right.
That's fine, But there has to be a way to absolutely limit it to those type of emergency calls. Or if there was some way to have a call, like I'm getting a package delivered. But no, not robocalls. I don't see that. It's really annoying. And, of course, they would have to put it so that we don't pay for incoming calls.
Yeah, Bobby, we've got it. I appreciate your call. Delicia, what about the cost of these incoming calls? Are they going to go on Bobby's bill or not?
Well, they likely may. I mean, at the hearing, someone representing the Wireless Association did testify and talked about that cell phone plans have changed such that consumers aren't paying for each call. But, in my experience, my cell phone plan, I have a limited bucket of minutes, as do many consumers.
Right.
And once you pass that bucket of minutes, I pay per call. And I believe that is the experience of many consumers who have similar plans. And so I think there is a legitimate concern that consumers can expect to see their cell phones increasing if their cell phones are open up infinitely to anyone who wants to robocall them.
And what about the Attorney General's point? I mean, he's very clear in saying he thinks this is really all about debt collection. They're the primary movers behind this thing, and they just want more ways to access people. In opposing it, are you trying to help people hide out from debt collectors?
No, not at all. I mean, there's actually research. So a 2008 report by the Federal Reserve Board to Congress shows that most Americans want to pay their bills, right? They agree to a commitment, and they try and do want to repay their debts. So I don't think this is about helping anyone hide out. It's about making sure that consumers retain the ability to choose who has their cell phone number and who doesn't. So this isn't about helping anyone hide out from debts.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about legislation now before Congress that would clear the way for robocalls, automated dialing of businesses and others to your cell phone. For 20 years, cell phones have been pretty well off limits. Yes, things slip through the cracks, but they've been pretty well off limits. New law would change that. Supporters say everybody's moving to cell phones. Businesses need a way to economically get in touch with them. Opponents say this is kind of Trojan horse. Open the door a crack and it's going to open wide. You'll have telemarketing and debt collectors and all the rest on your cell phone wherever you may be. Delicia Reynolds-Hand joins us. She's with the National Association of Consumer Advocates. They've argued against the new legislation, saying it's not necessary. Howard Waltzman is a partner at the law firm Meyer Brown. He represents a multi-industry coalition of trade associations who are lobbying for this bill. They just want economic access to you. If everybody's on cell phone, that's the way they want to come to you. Let's hear from our listeners, Frank in Augusta, Georgia. Frank, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Tom and guests.
Hi.
The way I see this thing is virtually we've been stripped due to technology and government of all of our privacy. This is one of the last bastions of privacy that we have, meaning our cell phone numbers. I just opted in with an airline when I made a recent trip, and I received a flight delay call, which was perfect, so I'm able to do that. I believe that this is solely a business-oriented and a business-directed move. It is sophistry to argue that it has anything to do with consumer interests. And I have a question for you, your guest.
All right.
What is to prevent these companies, once they have my number, from sharing it, so to speak, with their affiliates, which they are always able to do with my address, and then ultimately having my number sold, just like the mailing address has been done so many times? And I appreciate the occasion to express myself.
I appreciate your call, Frank, and let's get an answer to that question. Delicia, what about the sharing or selling of cell phone numbers to others once they come into play under this legislation? Would that be permitted or not?
Well, Tom, that's our exact concern. I mean, in addition to the fact that consumers should choose what they want, then it's, you know, well, what happens once they aren't allowed to consent and the information is out there? And we believe that this would dramatically change the status quo such that, you know, you'll now have gold lists for cell phone numbers and additional consumer information. The law needs to be strengthened and not weakened. So I think that is a legitimate concern, and that will happen.
Howard, what about our listener's report here that he took a flight, he opted in to be called in case of a delay, he got that call, and all that happened under the current status of the law? He doesn't need a change, he says.
Well, first, nothing in this bill gives permission to companies to share your phone number, sell your phone number. I mean, nothing in there does that. So if that's the concern, I mean, that's not founded based on what the language provides. Yes, people. A lot of people will go and they'll put their cell phone number in. They have to do it every time. You can't just, if you're a frequent flyer on an airline, just do it once. And not everybody does that. Some people are rushing through when they're checking in, getting their boarding pass. They don't put their number in. So, you know, out of a flight of 200 people, if 120 people have put their numbers in and 80 people haven't, that's 80 people that the airlines are essentially on the hook to the Department of Transportation for not having provided, sort of real-time information about flight updates. It's a great example of why you need this legislation and why getting consent for this narrow set of calls is more burdensome than helpful. You know, again, if they were calling your home phone, an airline could call your home phone today without consent with an automated message saying your flight's been delayed three hours. They can't make that same call to a mobile phone. 20 years after enactment of the TCPA, that's not a change that makes sense. That's not a rule that benefits consumers.
But of course, that's about a change in your air travel time. And if you're driving somewhere, even driving to the airport, you may very well want to know that at that point. You may. But what about all the others? I mean, you've got a lot of industries and trade associations who are wanting to see this happen, including, as the Attorney General said, debt collectors. That may not be a call that you want to get on your cell phone, Mr. Waltzman.
Well, I'll say two things. One is there's an entire statute that governs the ability of debt collectors to call on the frequency that they can call. That's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. Nothing in H.R. 3035 changes the FDCPA. In addition, an issue we haven't really talked about much here, but Delicia testified about at the hearing, is the issue of opt-out. My view, and I think her view in her testimony, was that there currently is an opt-out, the ability of consumers to opt-out even after giving prior express consent today. Her view, I think, based on her testimony, was that this legislation would somehow negatively impact the ability of consumers to opt-out That's you know, we absolutely support consumers' ability to opt out of receiving these calls. So I mean, we do think the default should be that just like with someone's wireline, you can make these calls to, again, non-marketing informational calls to someone's mobile phone. But if consumers don't want to receive these calls, they should be able to opt out of receiving them.
Delicia, it's not marketing. It's just informational, and you can opt out whenever you want. What's the problem?
Well, the problem is, I'll just respond to the issue about debt collectors first, which is there's a lot of things that fall under the category of information. And so after, you know, our first response is if consumers want information, they can consent to it. But there are certain types of industries that are categorized as informational, such as debt collections, which are abusive. The FTC has put debt collection complaints as their number one file complaint by consumers.
We've seen lots of testimony to that. I mean, is it informational to say I'm standing downstairs with a crowbar? You know, that's information, but it may be a little abusive too.
Exactly. And so, you know, and Howard talked about the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which is a strong law. But despite this strong legislation under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, abuses by the debt collection industry continue and have been getting worse. And so this industry shouldn't be rewarded by having access to consumer cell phones.
But that might be on the rails if this passes. Jeff in Salem, Massachusetts, you're on the air, Jeff.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My point, I work in philanthropy for a college in Massachusetts. And we are seeing similar trends with people dropping their home phones and having trouble connecting with people for fundraising and alumni relations purposes.
Right.
And I think, you know, we're having the same trouble with, you know, we do get some people who consent to give us their cell phone. We're able to contact them that way. But I think the larger problem is that whether it's a cell phone or landline, many people no longer answer their phone to unknown numbers. And therefore, we are being more creative in our other ways of contacting people, whether it's social media, email, new mailing strategies. And I think that's a reality that businesses, nonprofits, wherever you're coming at it from, are going to have to attack this problem in a multitude of ways.
Jeff, I'm glad you called on it because, I mean, it seems to me we're in the middle of a big cultural shift here. When we first got telephones, I don't know, a century ago, whenever it was, when it rang, people were so excited they wanted to answer it. Now there's such a different attitude about telephones, landline or otherwise, and people increasingly seem to want privacy there. But how does our economy work, Jeff? If that avenue gets shut down, are there enough other ways to make it work that you don't need to have that voice interaction anymore?
You know, I really think there are, and I think as more and more people become adept at using social media and as new avenues of communication come about and become more popular, you know, I think we're really going to see a shift away from that one-on-one voice communication to these more convenient ways of communication where you send me a message and I can look at it when I want to and I can respond to it however I like. Now, for debt collectors, that's going to be, you know, an issue. But from right. my point of view, you know, I think it's a nice change. And I personally only have a cell phone and don't answer it when I don't know the number.
But maybe don't even want to get the call when you're sitting at the movie theater or wherever you might be. I appreciate your call, Jeff. I want to bring John Abel into this conversation right now. He's New York City bureau chief for Wired magazine. They pay a lot of attention to technology and how it changes us, changes our culture, commercial interactions, all the rest. John Abel, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
I mean, the irony here is that the cell phones, especially smartphones, I mean, you're essentially carrying a little computer around with you. Those are going to be used in all kinds of ways to get people's attention. But what about cracking the door open here for more of this kind of voice interaction or robocall interaction? Does that look like a legitimate request in this age of the cell phone, John? Or is that infringing on a sort of what people now expect to be sacrosanct?
Yeah. Well, in a word, no. It's a huge transgression. I'm a pretty hardline person about this sort of thing, whether it's technology or proximity. If you walk through a mall, you're assaulted constantly by people handing you things, wanting to ask you questions as a way into a commercial conversation. People who want your business have been bothering you on the phone, and when we got a do not call registry, 99% of the country said, great, I'm signing up for that. This is a question of who gets to decide. For me, the phone is something that I can use to reach out to other people to do things that I want to do. It's not an invitation, a welcome mat for anybody, especially strangers, to try and get my attention. So I'm pretty strict on the notion about who gets to decide and whether things should be opt-in or opt-out, especially when it comes to commercial speech, which, as far as I'm concerned, is not protected at all.
So that is a real change, though, in the way American telecommunications have worked, is it not? I mean, for decades, you had lots of commercial interaction on the telephone. Is there something about the cell phone age that moves that out of the zone of acceptability?
No, we corrected the imbalance of power by instituting a do not call registry list for landlines.
Right.
We are, if there's a God in heaven, going to have a do not track registry as well in some way, shape, or form. This is a way around what we have corrected on the landline in the landline context, because most people aren't using landlines anymore. I don't use a landline. I haven't for years. I'm not the demographic that matters. I'm in my 50s, but the kids today, quote unquote, do not use landlines. They do not get landlines from the phone company. They get them from their cable company if they have them at all. Mostly they use Skype and voice, internet voice thing. So this is a way for marketers and other people who may or may not have your best interest at heart, and I say that dripping with sarcasm, to get into your home, into your head. And as far as I'm concerned, it's not even a close call.
Howard Waltzman, there's the attitude, you know, forget about it. That's from a past age. It was imbalanced when it took place. That imbalance was corrected by the Do Not Call registry. You know, John just doesn't want to go there. Many Americans also may not. In fact, you know, maybe they're willing to, if things are a little more expensive, in order to have a person call them instead of an automated dialing, maybe they're prepared to bear that expense rather than have a robocall disruption of their day on their cell phone, Howard.
Well, the do not call list applies actually to both landlines and to wireless phone numbers, and it applies to telemarketing calls. This bill should not be an invitation to telemarketers because there should be no change in existing law on the ability of telemarketers to contact you on your mobile phone. And if there's some need for clarification about that in legislation, we would certainly welcome it. I also sort of dispute the notion that this bill would be an invitation to strangers to call you. Again, we don't support opening up the ability of any random telemarketer to call consumers. We support the notion of companies that have existing business relationships with consumers being able to call them with timely information about important information about their product, service, or account.
The definition, though, is somebody that you've done business with, quote-unquote, for the past couple of months. That is an open invitation for anybody that company hires. And look at the list of the supporters here, the American Bankers Association, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Mortgage Bankers Association, Housing Policy Council. These are not your little local store saying, hey, we have that flower you like in. So, again, for me, this discussion is interesting, but it comes down to who gets to decide who uses my number. I have my number for me to reach people that I want to reach. It is not a welcome mat for the world. Period. It never has been.
How do you think things are going to change then, John? I mean, people are already talking about all kinds of marketing that will take place on cell phones, on smartphones. You know, there's GPS tracking, so they know if you're walking by their pizza shop, they may invite you to come in with a discount. Aren't cell phones going to be used, smartphones going to be used in all kinds of ways to reach out
to?
Aren't they already?
And they're used now with geolocation. All of that is opt-in. Anytime you go to your smartphone, and you're accessing something which requires your location, your phone requires you to specifically opt into that. And when you're walking around and you want to know where there's a cheap gasoline or where the nearest coffee house or pizza store is, you're not being solicited. You are soliciting. So if I'm walking around and I want to know what's around me, and people have put out their shop windows, it's the same as me walking around the main street of a little town. It doesn't involve somebody saying, hey, look at me. So sure, that is the beauty of these smartphones. They know where you are, and with participating establishments, retailers, and whatever, you can know what's available to you by virtue of the technology. That is entirely different. It is turning it on its head to say that by virtue of walking down a street, I will get a phone call from Mario's Pizzeria saying, hey, I noticed you were down the street. Maybe you'd like a slice.
Well,
nothing in the bill would permit that.
Howard says that's not where it's going to go. There's going to be a lot more debate about this in Congress, but it's really interesting to see how cultural attitudes and expectations have shifted over time. Technology comes right in the middle of that. And in some ways, people become even more protective of their privacy, especially when it comes to that communication device right there in their pocket. I'm grateful to all three of you for helping us look at this issue today and how it's rolling through Congress and beyond. Howard Waltzman with Meyer Brown in Washington. Thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. Waltzman.
Thank you, Tom.
John Abel with Wired Magazine, New York City Bureau Chief for Wired. John, thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
And Delicia Reynolds-Hand, Legislative Director for the National Association of Consumer Advocates. Thank you, Delicia, for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at On Point Radio, and be the first to find out tomorrow's topics and guests by going to our Facebook page, On Point Radio. Hit the like button, and you'll get alerts on upcoming shows right there in your newsfeed. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.